All right, final hour of the week, and it's a big hour because Al's brother is locked and loaded. Tremendous information will be brought to the table in about 25 minutes. Team Al Dog, they will be picking Bengals at Titans and Bills at Chiefs. There's a lot of concern in Western New York about what Al's brother, the cooler himself, is going to do with that game. But I would suggest that everyone just relaxes, and Al's brother and Team Al Dog have been picking winners in the playoffs, so I think we're looking at a very different scenario here.
KC favored by 3?
I'm seeing 2.5. Chiefs 2.5. That's what we have on the board right now. We will make sure that we lock it in. We're all okay. On the same page. I'm seeing Chiefs 2.5, Bucks minus 3, Packers minus 5.5, Titans minus 3.5. So you guys will pick Bengals, Titans, and Bills, Chiefs. So you will bookend the weekend. I will pick the middle games, Niners at Packers, Rams at Bucks. All right? So Al's brother a little bit later in the hour. Anson Carter will join us in about 5 minutes. I'm going to be breathing awkwardly this hour. My wife made gnocchi tonight.
Oh, I love gnocchi.
Spectacular, but these are like the size of a football helmet, each individual. It is the heaviest possible food you can eat. And I'm a child. I go upstairs. You know me. I do my drive-by, and I grab the fork.
Dude, I got to be honest. No disrespect to the wife's cooking and noodles. I know you love gnocchi.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most overrated things foods going.
Really?
Like, there's just no other way around it where it's overrated.
No, it's – okay, explain a comment like that. Why is it
overrated? It's just one of those things I've never enjoyed. If I'm going to do any kind of pasta-type dish, it's just a simple penne, not a gnocchi.
Well, then you have no palate.
It tastes like a potato or something. It's not like it's this flavorful thing.
Well, I think if you get the skillet cooking and it's what's inside the gnocchi too, right? Noodles, you get the right cheeses going on
and
in there.
And a rosé sauce,
yes,
or alabanca,
right.
Like there are pesto, like there is so many,
spectacular.
Like a solid. Like I love it. It is rich. It is heavy.
It's a
so
heavy
you've
meal.
Got to be mindful of it. But listen, I don't mind, like. Like a penne rosé, any
like
type
penne.
Of like, but like penne, I like the big thick noodles. So it's tagliatelle or something. I can't
well,
say
rigatoni's
it properly.
A big one, but I don't know all the different noodles.
You don't know
anything. I know Chef Boyardee.
You're talking about.
You give me the Chef Boyardee noodles, I could knock those out.
Exactly.
Anything like really Italian. So you're telling me, you would go to like a authentic Italian joint and you would order penne with meatballs or something? That's your go-to?
I've never ordered gnocchi in my life once. I'll never.
So you've never had it before?
Yeah, I have, and it's overrated. I guarantee you get Carlo on here, he'll say the same thing.
Oh,
give
disagree.
Me a regular pasta. He doesn't.
Well,
Andy, somebody's in agreement with me. That's Italian. Gnocchi's overrated.
No, it's not overrated. It's probably for. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's a heavy dish, I'll grant you that. And if you're not a fan of something that's filled with, you know, cheese or meat or something, then I understand why that wouldn't be, you know, on your radar or whatever. But I think it's a top three pasta, personally.
I agree.
I think it's a top three pasta. I think it's spectacular. And I think it's very authentic. I think if you talk to, like, Italians that I know Ray always talks about it. His grandmother used to, or Nonna always used to make gnocchi. Like, that was the big thing.
Yeah.
So,
oh, really? Ray told you that his grandma made him gnocchi when he was a kid?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots
of. That's funny. I've been on the show with you over 10 years, and I haven't heard that.
Well, maybe you weren't paying attention, but he said it. I believe that's on the record. So there's, you know, you have Carlo, I've got Ray. And Ray said gnocchi's the real deal.
I'll ask Steph in a break. I have no idea, like, where she sits on
gnocchi. I guarantee
gnocchi.
You she'll say gnocchi's overrated.
I don't
it's
think so.
It's very simple. Like, Twitter, stand up for me here. Somebody's
but you've
got
weird food. Like, your critiques, man, like, you don't like Chicago-style pizza.
Yeah, it's because it's
like
garbage.
Deep dish. What else do you not like that we've got into it before? There's a couple of different things that you fought. Oh, stuffing? You know, stuffing is something.
Yeah,
that,
he likes some weird things.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, right. He doesn't like that deep dish was the problem that
dude,
night.
Dude, deep dish, it is a universal thing that deep dish pizza is total trash. It's trasher. And it's garbage. Deep dish pizza is.
It's got to be done right. I'll grant you that. But the places in Chicago do it right.
We were in Chicago. That's where I learned to hate it.
It was spectacular. Do you like Chicago-style popcorn? Are you a Chicago popcorn guy or no?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I had some the other day.
He's back. There he is. We know what's up. All right, ask Steph, and she'll be the third Italian that we'll poll here on the show, right? We got Ray and apparently Carlo, although we're speaking for him. Maybe Koliakov was a big fan of gnocchi. Anson Carter will join us here in a moment, the NHL on TNT. He spent some time in Edmonton. He's familiar with that market. Jerseys being thrown on the ice last night. Does that mean anything? Like, I saw Brad Marchand was tweeting about it. Like, Brad Marchand, man, he loves chiming in about everything.
All of a sudden, he's like the social media guru,
yeah,
which I love it. Like, did you see heading off the ice, he grabbed somebody's phone and, like, took it into the room. The thing that bothered me is,
when he grabbed the phone, he goes, hey, I thought he was going to say, hey, it's Marshy, and he goes, it's BM63.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're good. But you're not that good to be calling yourself BM63. Like, you're just not. You're not Michael Jordan. You're not MJ. You're Brad Marchand, number 63. Like, you're really good. You're going to be a Hall of Famer, but you're not BM93 or 63.
Yeah, I didn't hear the audio. I just saw the video of him take it, which I think is cool. But, Spittin' Chicklets guys posted something about the Oilers and their struggle and people throwing jerseys on the ice. And Marchand responded by saying, and fans will wonder why McDavid and Draisaitl don't sign back there again, which we had this conversation earlier in the week. I think that's a completely bogus argument. You know, how about the fact that the team's terrible right now? Like, that's the guy, someone throwing it on a jersey on the ice. That's it. Can't possibly come back. But Koskinen, if he returns, I'm 100% in. Do we have Anson Carter on the line?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, okay, here's Anson Carter from the NHL on TNT, longtime NHLer, Toronto guy, but also played out in Edmonton. How you doing, Anson?
First of all, O-Dog, quit being a grump. I love BM63. I am all in for that. Other than that,
really?
I'm doing great.
Really? What does he have? Is there Nike shoes called BM63s or what? Come on, man.
You're talking to a guy that had, instead of the SL55, I had it converted to an SL77 with Louis Vuitton interior. My guys at West Coast Customs used my car to get Pimp My Ride.
There you go.
I'm all about that stuff.
I remember that, actually.
That was like a story that kind of blew up behind the scenes in the league. I remember that.
I took the limiter off the engine and the governor off. I had 800 horsepower under that hood. So I was just crushing Lamborghinis and Ferraris going down the 405 to practice.
I'm just going to be O-Dog 92. That's just who I am. That's all I'm going by.
What do you make of BM63's tweet that Draisaitl and McDavid will not be able to handle the idea of someone throwing a jersey on the ice?
You know what? It happens. I don't think that's the reason why. I listened to you guys before I got linked in here. That's not the reason why they leave Edmonton, because a couple jerseys get thrown on the ice. I think they're frustrated. The fans are frustrated. I played in Edmonton, and it's a fun market to play in. And the fans aren't easy, but they're passionate, and they love the game. And I think as a player, O-Dog, you can speak to this, and same with you, Noodles. You guys played in Canadian markets. I think it drives you as a player to be better. And it should be driving the organization to be better, too. They just haven't made the right decisions. And I don't care, Noodles. That goaltender can't stop the puck. I know he says that you can't score goals early or either. But if you're letting in goals earlier at inopportune times during the hockey game, it just sucks the life out of the bench. So if he's going to chirp and say, hey, I can't score, at least try to steal a game for the boys. And he hasn't done that yet.
I agree with you. We've had that conversation. And, you know, you go back over their last 15 games. I did the statistic. And I know it doesn't just mean everything because there's quality of chances you give up. But they're averaging 85% stops. You know, you're getting 85% goaltending right now as far as save percentage. Like, that's not good enough. And you mentioned something, and that's what I've been saying on this show. The confidence of the group is different when you don't trust what's going on in the net. And that's what I see right now.
Oh, I remember playing against, and you guys played against these Buffalo Sabres teams. Like, they were okay teams. They weren't unbelievable Stanley Cup winning teams, but the dominator was in net.
Oh, yeah.
And that team played with so much swag and confidence. They weren't afraid to turn the puck over. because they knew number 39 was going to make some acrobatic save and, you know, pull the puck out of his rear end and make that stop. And I'm just not seeing that with the Oilers right now. They're playing with no confidence whatsoever. I mean, they had tons of rubber they shot against the Florida Panthers, and they got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, that was it got away from them quickly last night. Barkov made it 3-0, and the lights were basically turned off. And McDavid and Drysdale, you know, McDavid's pointless in three straight. Didn't speak to the media after the game last night. Like, it does – he's far, far down the list of issues. But if he's your captain in the face of your franchise, I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest he's got to bring more. Like, he isn't playing as well as he can play right now.
He does. Gretz made a great point in the studio. And he was wondering, is he tired? Is he mentally – I thought he could be mentally fatigued from what's going on right now. But Gretz was saying when he watches him – he thinks he's tired when he doesn't have the puck. And you watch Leon Draisaitl when he's tired, it's almost like he's got a piano on his back. And both those players aren't playing the same kind of hockey as they started the regular season. And granted, their power play hasn't been clicking. And when things are going your well and you're getting your cookies in the power play, the game starts to slow down for you. But you have to wonder if those players are playing all those minutes in the first period because they're so relied on heavily, if it's starting to wear on them a little bit.
AC, we're in a market and in a world now in sports where guys can just wake up and say, you know what, I want to play somewhere else. Do you think if this keeps going south and they possibly miss the playoffs, that one of the two might just say, you know what, it's time for me to play somewhere else?
I think if Leon keeps getting those verbal jousting matches with the media, I think he might be the guy that wants out first, other than Connor. But I can see that. It's very conceivable that at some point they're going to decide, because they made the financial commitment to the Oilers signing long-term deals, but the Oilers haven't done a good enough job putting a quality team around them. So yeah, O-Dog, I definitely do see that happening at some point if they continue to go in this direction.
Chatting with Anson Carter, former NHLer, the NHL on TNT analyst. The Leafs obviously have been blowing leads recently, and the other night Sheldon Keefe came out post-game and said his team looked soft and played without purpose, and he kind of walked it back today after practice. He said, I want everyone to know, like, I fully believe in this team and believe in where we're going. But those are harsh words, man. Soft in particular is a tough word. What do you expect that team, the Leafs, to look like tomorrow night in response?
You want to see a big-time pushback. I think the Rangers make a lot of teams look soft, though. When you've got a guy like Ryan Reeves on your bench, like, I was watching that game, and there wasn't that much pushback from, you know, the players out of the roster. Like, Wayne Simmons, physical player. Wayne's tough, the Wayne train. And, you know, you see players like Kyle Clifford, who plays a physical brand of hockey, too. But there wasn't much after the whistle when you're playing against the Rangers. And that's because number 75 is sitting on the bench, and not too many guys want to tangle with a player like that. And you wonder why more teams don't have players like that on their bench. Calgary's another team that has Lucic on their bench as well. But I expect to see a major pushback from the Leafs. You never, ever like to hear your head coach calling you soft. Even the coach walks it back, and maybe Sheldon Keefe forgot what market he was playing in. But people are going to run with that soundbite,
right,
and the players will hear that over and over again. So I definitely expect the players in that room to respond.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of heavyweights, there's been some big fights in the NHL recently. Like, it seems like every night there's a couple of boys.
Colorado's got a dude that's just mangling people. That McDermott guy.
Yeah, he's not shy. Yeah, he's a mutant, but he's like, he gets out there and he's not shy to drop the gloves, but he does it with a purpose. Like, it's not, I don't think they're all staged fights. It's like, hey, I'm going to play this way. I'm going to stand up for my teammates. And we have seen a little bit of irritability around the league right now. It might just be that time, you know, guys are kind of mid-season where guys are getting frustrated within the game.
Yeah, these are the dog days. January, yeah. The dog days roll around where guys get a little frustrated and a little ornery a little bit out there. But, yeah, McDermott, he was throwing haymakers, and I love the way he was calling off the ref, too, like, hey, we're not done yet. Just stay on the sidelines there, enjoy the fight. And both those big boys are connecting with haymakers. I mean, seeing those guys sitting in the penalty box icing down those knuckles and then the welts on their faces, I'm sure they weren't looking too pretty. Only their wives or their families appreciated them the next day, because that was some bombs that were connecting.
There were. Then that hit by Wilson last night was a beauty. But because it's Wilson, you're like, all right, is the league going to look into this? That was clean and just a textbook hit, man. I loved that last night.
It was clean. Yeah. I agree. It was clean. At some point, you got to keep your head up.
No,
I know the game is going in a direction where we're talking skill, but you got to keep your head up, don't you guys think?
Oh, he literally had his head up his rear end, cut to the middle of the ice, and thought that nobody was going to touch him, and the boogeyman was standing there waiting for him and crunched him.
60% of the suspension, the guy's got his head right up his ass, staring at his pass or his, or looking at the puck, and it's like, oh, you got to suspend that guy because he finished his check.
I mean,
he's been hit before, but he won't be hit for that one last night. That was a good hit by Wilson, and we'll see. It's going to be a fun night in the NHL tonight. Fun weekend as always. It's great having you on, Anson. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again down the road.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime. Thank you.
There's Anson Carter of the NHL on TNT. Yeah.
I saw that hit live, and I was like, that is, you know, my thought process, okay, that's Tom Wilson. So let's go through the checklist. Is the head contacted? Is it late? Is it all, like, instead of being like, you know, this is a guy, a young kid who put himself in a tough position.
Right.
It used to be, and you guys can speak to this, is in certain areas of the ice, you always were aware because somebody could step up and hit you.
And certain guys being on the ice against you, too.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's another thing. Tom Wilson's got this reputation of being someone that, like, he's changed his game to an extent because I don't remember the last time he was in the news for a big hit or a crazy fighter. Like, obviously, it was the Panarin Rangers thing last year. But
right.
This year, I don't recall hearing him doing anything crazy. I could be wrong. I don't see him play every night. But, like, that's a hit that should be celebrated. I'm celebrating that as a hockey fan. It's a great hit. And, you know, you got him shoulder to chest. You want to cut across the middle, man. It's still a big boy game.
Yeah. Scotty Stevens allowed. Back in the day was on the ice. You cut across the middle, your life's in your own hands, man.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And chances are he was going to be out there because he's playing 30 minutes. So,
wow.
Watch
yeah, that was something
else. He had some awful hits. Like, in retrospect, clearly Stevens, based on today's standards.
Oh, my God. That Paul Kariya hit, he would have got a lifetime suspension.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are some. There
like the
are
Lindros
some.
Hit, the really bad Lindros hit was an elbow to the head. You know.
Yes.
But
and
Eric
3 seconds late.
And late, yes. You know, there were a number of them you could look at for sure. That just it was they're playing by different rules.
Right.
But, you know, even there, the Bruin, he cuts back up ice. You know, not only does he cut into the middle of the ice, it's like he cuts in and up, and Wilson's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want Tom Wilson to do? Miss that
no.
hit? No chance. Lay it.
Right. Yeah. No, so. You got to take that hit. You have to. And the thing is it's a timing issue because if the kid, you know, tries to spin out or, you know, head is contacted, like there's – if you ill-time that, you could – that's where you get yourself in trouble.
Exactly.
That's where –
Yeah.
You know.
He moves at the last second and Wilson gets his elbow up instinctively, then you're talking 20 games.
Again, right.
Because
right.
it's him. Like, that's the thing about what Tom Wilson's dealing with right now. Now, self-inflicted, he's put himself in this spot. But no one's breaking down the tape more, or no one's having a hit broken down more than Tom Wilson. And
right.
no one will have the benefit of the doubt less than Tom Wilson.
Right.
Where other guys in the league that aren't on the books to the same extent don't have to deal with that. All right, Al's brother's coming up. Team Al Dog. You guys are going to be on the clock. You're bookending the weekend. You got the first game, which will be Bengals at Titans. You will have the last game, Bills at Chiefs. So we'll catch up with Al's brother. We're tracking the American Express. I haven't looked at it and where Cantlay finished off. Let me take a quick look here. Yeah, Cantlay, Tom. Yeah, there he is at 15 under leading the tournament right now.
14, just bogeyed.
Did he? Okay, that's what I was wondering what you had up on the screen. All right, so we'll keep an eye on that, or you're keeping an eye on it for us. You tell us what's happening out there at the American Express. And Al's brother will join us. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
And up on that one, the first star, Al's brother.
Yes, Al's brother is here for another weekly edition of Picks. And at this point, we're working on the video, but the audio is going to be there. And before we bring in Al's brother, I should point out our friends at Pinty's. That's where you want to go in terms of Super Bowl kits. They got a great giveaway going right now. The Ultimate Home Tailgating Party. Win one of five Pinty's Super Bowl kits valued at $1,000, which will include the following. $500 NFLShop.ca gift card. Co-branded charcuterie board, co-branded insulated
made by Al's brother
grocery bag,
wow.
and a co-branded insulated tumbler. Pinty's coupons, official Super Bowl football and program and Super Bowl plates, napkins, the whole nine. So buy a Pinty's product and enter the UPC on our new website for a chance to win. That will be running all the way through January 30th, and the draw for the winners will be on January 31st at 9 a.m. So get to the website, and shout out to Pinty's, who bring the heat. We love Pinty's, as always, and that's exactly what I plan on doing when the Super Bowl gets here, is popping in some Pinty's wings. I'm going to do that all weekend, quite frankly, and a little charcuterie board. I have to believe that's up your alley, Al's brother. Are you going to have wings on the charcuterie board this weekend or what?
Oh, absolutely. It is a must on the charcuterie board for a great divisional weekend. I can't wait. Chris Rowe said it. This is one of the best weekends of the year because you got four quality games.
Right. Well, I don't know if you feel positive about the draw. Oh, you've been pretty quiet about this.
This is weird for me because I can't see my guy and I can't see where he's
leaning.
I don't like it. I can't see the hat. So I'm basically, you're my ride or die, buddy, and I got to go with what you're saying. And
that's going to be it.
You better be good.
So you guys drew the first game of the weekend, Al's brother. We will go through this in chronological order.
Okay.
Are you searching for him? Can you? I don't know.
I'm prepping for him. Is what I'm doing.
I'll give you. I don't know why my video is not working. It's an internal webcam. But anyways. But here's a little bit of vote of confidence for you because I think we're on the same wavelength here, O-Dog. Because I too agree with you. To be quite honest with you, that Gnocchi a little overrated. Not my favorite noodle.
Al's brother.
That's why we're partners. That's why the Al Dog hat lives.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Just not my favorite noodle. More of a rigatoni guy.
You're a rigatoni. Yeah, you do seem like a rigatoni guy. I peg you as a rigatoni guy. All right, so you have the Bengals at Titans, Al's brother. And on the lineup, it's Titans minus 3.5. I'm looking at the site we generally use to make sure that that is confirmed, and that's where it currently stands. So let's lock that in. Titans laying 3.5 at home. Derrick Henry returning. He was activated off the IR today. I don't know how many snaps he'll get. I would think he'll be on a pitch count, but at home, coming off a bye. But Joe Burrow, Broadway Joe, rolling through town. First game on the road in the playoffs for him. You guys are on the clock. Titans or Bengals, and why?
It's a bit of a tough game because you really don't know what you're going to get out of Derrick Henry, and the game plan is going to be up in the air, I guess, until we finally get to see it out there. So, in a way, that could be an advantage for Tennessee because Cincinnati's not going to be able to game plan for it. But I just look at it, and I think this is a guy who hasn't played in 2 months. And can he step into playoff form right away? I'm not so sure. I'm not sure he sees many meaningful snaps. He may be a decent decoy, but I don't see this guy rattling off another 100-yard game on the ground. And when you look at Derrick Henry when he's not there, it takes away that play-action threat in this offense, falling from 8th to 17th in his absence when he went down last year. So I don't know how much of a factor he's going to be here. Trey Hendrickson looks like he's going to be healthy for the Bengals. I think that could factor in. And when you're betting, like, you don't bet against Joe Burrow, man. This passing attack, I think Joe Burrow is really the next one. He's a big deal. And the Titans, they struggled against the pass, ranked 25th in the league. They gave up 300 yards and 3 touchdowns to Davis Mills and the Texans the last time they were on a football field. I'm taking the Bengals here. You giving me the field goal and the hook? Yeah, I'll take the points with Joey B.
Wow. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
You're on board with that? Okay.
I am so on board with that. And you know that you were on board with it too, but you're not because you're on the other team.
No, I'm fine with being on Tennessee because history would suggest the one seed that gets the bye is it's incredibly advantageous. You'll notice that tremendous information wasn't brought up by Al's brother. But if you go out over history, teams coming off a bye that are getting healthy at home, it's really not that close.
I believe you're right, but here's why I don't think that really matters. But this, I think this has come out of your mouth earlier this week. I think I heard it. Why you say this might be one of the worst number one seeds in recent history?
Did we forget about that comment?
I said one of the most overlooked number one seeds. One of the most just not talked about. I mean, there's no spotlight. I don't believe I said they're one of the worst number one seeds. If I did, listen, I would probably argue that. Like, I don't remember making that argument, but compared to where the Packers are in the NFC, where the Chiefs have been as the one seed in past years, I don't think the Titans can hold a candle to those teams. But what I was suggesting, I believe, Al's brother, was that I think they're being completely overlooked, and I don't think enough people are paying them respect. They still are a one seed. And your pick, would indicate that that is a truth. So you're on the Bengals 3.5. You're getting 3.5 with Broadway Joe, but he's still a kid. I'll remind you that. They better pump in six as opposed to kicking field goals. So I'm happy to be on the Titans. And I'm on the Niners-Packers game. I'm seeing this line fluctuate. I want to make sure that this is confirmed, okay?
Okay, yep, confirmed.
Yes, I'm seeing it Packers
That's
minus five.
That's a greasy comment to start the whole thing. It's a
Packers
greasy
minus
comment.
Five. It's on the card here with us at 5.5. It has been bet down towards the Niners. So we're playing this at Packers minus five. Is that cool with you guys or what?
Let me take a peek. Look at that. It's moved to five in the last hour. It's gone from 5.5 down to five. Five is the number we will pick at. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay. So we're picking at that. Now, a couple of injury notes to point out in this game. Nick Bosa has been cleared. He's playing.
Yep.
But Za'Darius Smith has been cleared as well. He has been activated. And
that's your guy.
Yeah,
to no one's shock, by the way. To no one's shock.
He's been out since week one. Like, he had a pretty significant injury. Randall Cobb's back. I don't know if Jair Alexander is going to play. I don't know if Bakhtiari is going to play. If they do, you're talking about the Packers, outside of Jenkins, who's a significant piece on the interior line. They're loaded. Like, they're ready to rock, the Packers. And what I just said in the previous segment about the Titans and history applies here. The Niners are a very public team. So is Green Bay. But when you beat Dallas, everyone starts buzzing about you because everyone loves Shanahan and thinks he's the smartest coach of all time. And their history in the playoffs, which I will grant, considering I was there 2 years ago, right around 2 years ago today, actually, we were in San Fran watching that game. I think people are leaning towards the Niners. Jimmy G is banged up. If he's healthy, I don't love him in this atmosphere at Lambeau Field. I'm riding with the Packers minus five. I love the Packers coming off a bye week. They're getting healthy. I believe they're the best team in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers has got the MVP. It is going to be freezing cold, which I think benefits them because they're used to it, just like Buffalo a week ago at home. I think the home field advantage is massive when you've got really, really awful conditions. Packers minus five, lock it in.
I like my positioning. I am so jacked up about
good
that.
For you.
Al's brother, can you not explain how happy we are what he just said?
I am so happy. I was going to propose a trade to you. I was going to, because I know how much you hate picking the game with the Green Bay Packers. I was going to try and propose a trade, but say, you know what? We'll leave it. We'll let them pick it because I wanted the San Francisco 49ers so bad. I was going to try and trade to get the pick, and you're just
why are you so adamant about the Niners?
Go ahead and tell them, Al's brother. Tell them what we talked about this morning. Go ahead.
Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't really have to do much because they're just going to run the football down the throat of the Green Bay Packers. Absolutely, they're going to do that. You know, when you look at the look ahead of this game, it was 4 points. And then you saw the injury to Bosa and Warner last week against Dallas, and that number quickly changed and climbed up to 6 points. Both those two now going to be playing in the game. So I'm still getting an extra point from the early look ahead. The Niners, 6-1. On the road this year, 4-1 on the road as the dog, 6-1 in general as the dog this year. I really, really think that the Niners not only can cover the 5 points, I think they can win this game, Hazy B.
Well,
sorry to tell you.
Outright.
Yeah,
outright.
I think so.
For you, I couldn't be happier that you stated that because your belief in that makes me feel even better about my pick and Green Bay at home. I think you're really overlooking the significance of the one seed in the bye. Like, history would suggest these games are not really that close a lot of times. Because what happens is you see the teams the week before. Joe Burrow, look what he did. Wow, wasn't that amazing? Yeah, guess who was sitting back watching as a better team waiting for them at home?
Yeah.
Tennessee. The Niners squeaked past Dallas because Dallas did everything they could to puke all over themselves. It's not like that was a decisive win last week. They barely won. They barely beat Dallas, and now they're facing a better team in a worse environment. Love the Packers, land five. Love the Packers.
Wow. We love the Niners.
There you go.
We love it. Love
more
it.
Than you love the Packers, we love the Niners.
Okay.
Love. I think that's a true statement.
All right.
Statement,
Rams-Bucks, the first game on Sunday. The Bucks are laying three. Is that still the case? I want to make sure that we get these lines correct.
3 points looks to be the number to me,
okay.
Yes.
I am going to take the L.A. Rams in this game. I am going to take the points on the road. I'm concerned about Whitworth being out, their tackle, but Wirfs, I think, is going to be an issue for Tampa. I don't know if he plays. They got a couple of linemen that are banged up. I saw they had another running back who's been ruled out today. And I like the way the Rams played last week. I like the way the Bucs have played all year. I think it could be a close game. I could see this being a field goal game. We might have a push here. Might be Bucks, you know, on a late field goal. But I think it's going to be a close game, and I think that pass rush is going to get after Tom Brady. And if it does and it goes south for him, then I think the Rams are capable of putting points on the board where they won't allow a comeback out of Brady and company. So I will take the points. I'm on the Rams at Tampa.
Giving us Tom Brady at home by a field goal.
That's a Christmas gift. That's an early Christmas gift. That's two times. That's just gifts.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
All right.
I hear you.
Here's a couple of...
You're documenting. You know
what I'm documenting. I feel like you are very confident. Al's brother, just there's a lot of noise and bluster and like this is what I feel like. I feel like the team that has the bye statistically has done this. You are straight to the point. Al's brother has like a marching band.
We're talking about Tom Brady, the guy that usually just gets it done.
I agree. Tom Brady. He does. Like the Tom Brady, you got to think too. Tom Brady has one of he's such a quick release. So you talk about the banged up offensive line of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady gets the ball out pretty quickly. So as long as they can hold up for like a sec, 2 seconds, they're good to go. And here's a player who I'm expecting to come up. I think it was Ronald Jones who was
ruled
out, right?
Yes.
Thankfully, the name that was ruled out from the running back position was not Gio Bernard. Gio Bernard's going to have himself a nice weekend, I believe. He caught 9 balls the last time these two teams played off against each other. And talk about having to get the ball out quickly, that quick dump off to Gio. I don't know if they really have, you know, guys who are going to be able to keep up with this guy. And you think back to the last game. The Rams, they beat up on Tampa Bay pretty good. That was in L.A. This one is in Tampa Bay. And you think back to that game, the Bucs secondary decimated with injuries. Cooper Kupp, OBJ, Van Jefferson, it'll be a little bit tougher for them this time around than it was back in September because they got their ones out there this time. You're giving me Brady at home by a field goal?
I'll take it. Listen, I hear you, man. It's not easy to bet against TB12. There's a guy who can use his initials and his number.
Yes.
Right. TB12 applies and works.
BM63 and TB12.
Right. Two long-standing Boston legends.
And I feel like BM63's injured. Aren't they playing tonight? I don't know if he's playing.
Shoulder.
That looked like he popped something out or did something there. Subluxed it.
On the bench when he went to go celebrate that shorty and he couldn't lift it. Yeah, it looked like I separated my shoulder playing rugby once, and that was essentially what happened to me. I went to go and lift my arm, and I can't lift this thing past like my mid-waist.
I was just going to say, did you wear that headgear?
No, I didn't wear the headgear.
Yes.
I didn't wear the scrum cap. The scrum cap? No, I didn't get. I should have. I played props, so I was right up in there, and my heads were just.
You were right up in there.
I was the right prop. Up in there as the big yeah. prop.
Is that the guy who throws someone in the air to try to get the ball?
I did. Yeah. You got the number two guy, which they call it the hooker, right? And then you got the two props on the outside, and then when you do a throw in, you try and toss them up, and so that was me.
Okay, shout out. What was your number?
AB1
Kenobi.
Rugby down a sugar. Never the same.
Next time you're on TV with us, you have to wear the head guard. What's it called again? The scrum guard?
Scrum cap.
Put that on.
Rugby's
awesome.
Ruthless game.
It's so ruthless.
It's tough. Like, God, the injuries.
It's so fun. Yeah. Such a fun game, though. Like, honestly, and... I just remember playing, like, I didn't play in high school. I didn't play at a highly competitive level, but it was such a fun game, and it's just, like, such good camaraderie. I don't know.
I got friends that play it. My brother-in-law loves it. They love it because of what you just said, the camaraderie. You're going to war, the haika. Do you ever do the haika, Al's brother? I need video.
Oh, the haka? The All Blacks with the haka? Oh, yeah, we did that. That is some scary stuff.
Yeah. Scary stuff.
We need Al's brother doing a haka before the Super Bowl, then nosedive into the hot tub with a charcuterie.
I love it.
Just hit every single possible thing we could.
Should hit it up.
All right, so Bills at Chiefs. Again, I saw earlier this number looked like it was moving around. This is your game. I'm seeing it. Chiefs minus 2.
That's the number I'm looking at as well.
Okay.
It's moved down to 2 points.
Betting towards Buffalo. Al's brother, this is your moment to shine. There's a lot of people in Western New York that listen to this show. Our signal is actually very strong down there, and they want to know what you're thinking. They're
Al's
nervous.
Al's brother,
they're
do
concerned.
The right thing here and do what you know that we both want to do. Go ahead and do it.
Well, to much dismay of our pal Critter, and I'm surprised you didn't bring that up earlier when you were talking about Carlo, but Critter said, "Don't do it." But I'm sorry, Carlo. I gotta do it because I believe in the Bills this weekend. I really, really do. I'm taking the dog. I'm taking the points. The Bills. I got three reasons why, gentlemen. Reason number one, I think the Bills' defense and their ability to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes is going to make a big difference. They led the NFL with pressures. 30.8% of opponent drop packs, they were able to pressure the quarterback, which led to a number one passing defense in the NFL, both yardage and points scored against. Patrick Mahomes completing at just a 41.8% of his passes when he's under pressure, and they'll do this with mainly just four guys rushing the passer, which means they're going to be able to drop an extra guy in coverage, which leads me to point number two, my good pal. Turnovers. You drop an extra guy, you can get yourself a couple of turnovers with an extra guy out there. And that's something that the Chiefs have done a lot this season. 23 times to be exact, the 25th most in the NFL. Had two more turnovers last week. Buffalo, sixth in takeaways this year. And unlike Pittsburgh, Buffalo will make KC pay for turning the ball over. They can't afford to give Buffalo extra possessions. And thirdly, Brian Daboll has his swagger back as an offensive coordinator. This guy's auditioning for head coaching jobs, and I think that he's going to go out and just have a great day with this offense. They're averaging over 400 yards, scoring an average of 32 points per game in their last six. A run game is starting to come here with Devin Singletary, Josh Allen, and my guy, Isaiah McKenzie, of late getting interacted into the offense. They're getting creative. I really, really like this team. It's a different KC team from when they played earlier in the season. KC's a lot better, but ultimately, these are two uber-talented offenses. I give Buffalo the nod based on their strong trench play, the better overall defense. Give me the Road Dogs again. Bills,
Bills
+2.
Plus two. I like that pick, but I will say this. Everything you had to say about me betting against Brady has to apply against betting against Mahomes at home. Like, Mahomes does not generally lose at home. And Arrowhead, I think, is going to factor in, but I think this is a coin flip game. You know, you're going based on your gut. Everything you said there is 100% legit. Now, you could counter with similar stats that Mahomes and the Chiefs offense supply. Andy Reid, he's chasing that chocolate cake. Do you hear him earlier this week using the chocolate cake analogy?
You want it again?
Yeah, he's already had one piece of chocolate cake, the Super Bowl. You obviously want another one. So I think he's hungry and horny for another win. And, you know, you give me Mahomes and that offense at Arrowhead, only laying two, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with my picks. So I am on the Titans, the Packers, the Rams, the Chiefs, which means Team Owl Dog is on the Bengals, the Niners, the Bucks, and the Bills. You guys are on the dogs, you know, this week. You're on the Bengals are a dog, the Niners are a dog. The Bills are a dog. The only favorite you have is Tom Brady and the Bucks at home laying three. So, Al's brother,
I like
this information.
I really love where we're at. Like, I mean, we're Al Dog. We're Team Al Dog. Just makes sense that we're on the dogs this week.
That's right. They're barking. And you're 4-2, you know, through super wild card weekend. I need wins this week. You guys run the house. It's over. I think if you go 3-1, I can't catch you based on how many games are left.
Yeah, but you're feeling pretty good about yourself. I know that you are.
I feel good about these. In the regular season, I smoked you guys, and you know I'm up pretty significantly on that. But this is a clean slate.
Yeah,
I feel
and
good about
my picks.
We know
that this counts for significantly much more value-wise.
Right, every game is at a certain value, and there's a chance for you guys to catch up. So, yeah, all right, best of luck, Al's brother. And I look forward to the updates on Twitter, Instagram, the whole nine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You guys were talking about how you guys are a bit quieter when you're watching games. I'm the opposite. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm in front of the TV. I'm screaming at guys for not making plays. So okay. I'll be loud. I'll be loud. That's for
what
sure.
What is your
for each
feeding
and every one of these
experience
teams.
Like this weekend? What is on the docket?
I think there's going to have to be some charcuterie involved, absolutely, and wings. I mean, charcuterie and wings is just a staple, absolute
Perfect.
Staple here. So I'll get that cooking, and I'll make sure that the world knows it with a couple of pics on Insta and Twitter.
Please,
so don't
please
you worry.
Do. We look forward to tracking it. Al's brother.
All right.
All right, best of luck this weekend, buddy. I'm sure I'll hear from you after kickoff tomorrow afternoon.
All right, go Bills.
Yes, go Bills. There's Al's brother, and again, Team Al Dog, for those wondering, are on the Bengals +3.5, the Niners +5, the Bucks laying -3, -3, and the Bills +2. Oh, those are your teams. Those are your games.
You know? I like where we're at. I just like everything I heard there. That's why we're teammates, because it's just...
AB just gave the Bills the kiss of death.
That's
my only concern,
Noodles, is that the Chiefs are going to win this game like 51-10. Now Al's brother is going to have to leave the Buffalo Niagara area and
answer to Carlo.
Right.
It's not good.
That's my concern. All right, so we'll come back. We'll get an update on the American Express. Oh, if you want to talk about what's going on out there, I'm trying to keep up as much as I can, but you let me know how that's cooking. And the Raptors are in action tonight. They're down in Washington taking on the Wizards. We'll tee that up. Elise on Long Island tomorrow night. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so big weekend. You got the Raptors in action tonight on the road in Washington, at home against Portland on Sunday. And no one will be in the building but the Raptor, I guess, on Sunday. And, you know, Washington's come back to the pack. They had a great start opening of the year. Remember, they rolled in, beat up on Toronto. But this is kind of the wheelhouse that the Raptors are in. You're facing a team here that you're going to be fighting with in terms of positioning. Likely a wild card slash play-in type of position, but we'll see the minutes dispersed tonight. We'll see how happy Nick Nurse is, because he was feeling pretty positive.
I wonder about that guy, his engine, what he has in the tank. Because after the game the other night, he had a look, I don't think I've seen it on him before, where he was like, he was asked a question and he was like, yeah, the last thing you said. Because he was presented a couple different options of what happened on the last play with
Doncic and
Doncic, Barnes, and he was like, "Yeah, the last thing you said." I was like, "This guy, I wouldn't want to piss this guy off in the next 72 hours."
Yeah,
he looks spent. Like, that's what it is. He's spent. He puts everything into it. Like, he coaches the hell out of that team. Like, he's emotionally involved at the side of the court. Like, he gets right in there. But you could tell when he's had enough. He said to Gary Thorne.
He's had enough. He knows he doesn't have depth right now. He's dealing with injuries. And, you know, Gary Trent has been hurt. And Ken Birch is out now for an extended period of time.
But he doesn't do the Penny Hardaway.
Penny. No, he doesn't say you guys are being mean to me. You know, and you should know better. How dare you? I'm Penny or I'm Nick Nurse.
Yeah, exactly.
To his credit. So we'll see what they have in store tonight. The Leafs are in New York playing the Islanders tomorrow night. The Islanders, you know, they got a bunch of home games coming up. They're starting to win some games. They're playing tonight. They're playing Arizona tonight.
They've won two in a row. I mean, they get points, so they've won two in a row. They play Arizona tonight. But the Leafs, in a back-to-back situation, that's what you got to go after them, because they played the night before. Now, two home games in a row, it's not like they're traveling from Arizona. But still, you know, catch a tired team, maybe a little
Noodles,
bit off.
When you had this situation, would you ever go to the rink and watch the game?
If I was a player?
Yeah.
No.
I did it one time, and I was like, this is such a loser thing to do.
Yeah,
I was in Edmonton, and I watched Edmonton go play San Jose, and they played us the next night.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not doing anything, I obviously did it as a coach and stuff, and certainly in the media once in a while you'll go, but I always felt like I had a routine the night before a game. And it didn't include going to a hockey game. I like to, I like to go for dinner and a movie or whatever, especially on the road. You had your road routine. And it wasn't boozing or anything like that. It was, we're either doing movie then dinner or dinner then movie. That's what it was.
I wonder what happened Wednesday night. Like, that might have been a missed bullet. Or Thursday night. You're in New York. They've been in New York since Wednesday. You know, New York, as far as I could tell, is pretty alive right now. Thursday night in New York, wouldn't surprise me if some of the boys went out for a peek, just to check it out, see what's going on.
Oh, just sniff around.
Yeah, I miss New York. I got to get back there. Dying to get back.
I agree.
We got that, and then of course the NFL this weekend as well, and the picks are in. Al's brother, he always brings the heat. We love having Al's brother on, and it makes me question everything I'm thinking, because Al's brother brings such incredible.
Tremendous information.
Yeah, and just the angles and everything. So those games will be on TSN and CTV all weekend. And Bengals, Titans, then Niners, Packers, Rams, Bucks, and Bills, Chiefs. You can't ask for much better than that. I mean, it's going to be a great weekend of football. So we'll have that. And before you know it, we'll be down to four teams. By the time we're back on the air, we're into the conference championship games. And looking ahead to those next weekend. So enjoy that. Enjoy the ball games, the hockey games, football, the whole nine. Thank you to everyone for tuning in all week, everyone for helping out behind the scenes. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We are back Monday at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.